Okay. I don't know if I have... who knows what comes out in a class? I guess so. That's why I record it. Oh, look who's coming. Good stuff.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How come religious men don't wear wedding rings?
It's a good question. I can't say that they don't. Some do. I think it has to do a little bit with tradition. Actually, a couple of my kids do. Some places will find it, like in the Bight, most people do. Depending on your background, and whether you find it that it's whether it's considered chukas agoy, which what the non-Jews do, and whatever. So it's, I don't know if there's necessarily an isser per se. I think Reb Moshe was probably not so much for it, but if you live in Baltimore, a lot of people do, when the other kid lives. So, but traditionally, they don't. I mean, I don't. But it really depends where you come from. Who is it going to send a message to? Oh, yeah. Just it does send him a message. And let me call him. Unless he's here already. Hey, Rachel, Jake. Baruchim Abayim. Nice to see you guys.
Erev Tov.
Michael, Carol, Bernie, Sandy, Denise, Vic. Oh, a lot of people rolling in. Okay, good. All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Ask the Rabbi evening. So I don't have much in the hopper, although Brian sent me a question today. I'm trying to find it. Brian, where'd you send me the question? I thought Brian sent me a question.
Yeah, no, I did. I sent it to your...
Ask the Rabbi?
Not Ask the Rabbi, your personal...
Rabbi Heschel, let me take a look.
Yeah. But I remember it. The question is that I know it's not permissible to drive during Shabbos, but so why is it permissible to ride in an elevator during Shabbos?
Okay, hang on just 1 second. I found it.
Yeah.
Well, let me just send out this one other one. You send it to my WhatsApp. That's where it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
If driving is not permitted on Shabbos, why is riding in an elevator accepted? Ah, very good question. So driving in a car is not permitted on Shabbos. Why is riding in an elevator permitted? How do you know riding in an elevator is permitted?
Because in my building, there's a Shabbos elevator. And I mentioned it to somebody, and they went, "What are you talking about, a Shabbos elevator?" I went, "That's what my building has." So that's why I'm asking.
Very good. All right, so let's address that a little bit. Just 1 second. Okay. a Shabbos elevator. What's the difference between a Shabbos elevator and an elevator? Other than it says the word Shabbos on top.
Shabbos elevator stops at every floor.
Okay.
You don't have to press any buttons.
Correct. As a matter of fact, even if you press buttons, I think it's going to just ignore whatever buttons are being pushed anyway. I'm going up. I want to go up. What are you going down for?
Rabbi, I was told very Orthodox people wouldn't go in a Shabbos elevator.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true.
First talk about what a Shabbos elevator is. A Shabbos elevator is a special board that they add onto an elevator that when you turn on the Shabbos mode, then what it does is it prevents anyone from doing anything to the elevator, and it causes the elevator to move in a way that is unaffected in any way by anything on the outside. So, for example, my oven has a Shabbos mode. So if my oven is on a Shabbos mode, I can thereby open and close the oven, again, depending on the brand, but for the most part, when I need. And because when it's on Shabbos mode, what I do does not affect the oven. So typically, when I open an oven, cold air comes in, it will cause the thermostat to, hey, peep, click, and turn on the thermostat because they've got to get the temperature back up. On Shabbos mode, that won't happen. It cycles itself no matter what the story is inside or outside. It knows how to cycle itself. So if you leave a Shabbos oven open the entire Shabbos, it will still cycle itself on and off, even though technically it should be on all the time because the door is open and there's cold air coming inside. It should, but that a Shabbos mode means that there is no change to the actual flow. Yoni's trying to figure this one out. The same is true with a Shabbos elevator. When it's in Shabbos mode, pushing a button, having more people in an elevator versus less people in an elevator, I'm doing absolutely nothing to change the mechanics, the operation of the elevator. That's what I prop. Now, there are better Shabbos elevators, and there are not as good Shabbos elevators. There are some that are made which really will not allow anyone to do anything, no matter how many people are in the elevator, whatever the case is. There's some older ones that maybe are not so good, and you need to know which one it is. So the truth is, religious people probably do use the Shabbos elevator. Like my wife was told when her mother was in Bakerest on the whatever floor it was, she used the Shabbos elevator. We used the Shabbos elevator to go up. It was a bigger, because you couldn't use the stairs, because in order to access the stairs, you had to push a button, which was a whole magnetic thing, which in itself was worse than the elevator. So you have to sit there and you got to wait for the elevator to come. If you just missed the elevator, you missed the elevator. You got to wait for it to go all the way up, come out, whichever way it operates. So the reason why that we can use a Shabbos elevator is because if it's a properly made Shabbos elevator, is because I am not adding or subtracting anything from its use. It's in an automatic mode that will just do absolutely nothing. Now, unfortunately, there's no such thing as an automatic car. I know Tesla is working on that. And you know, if there would be a car, that the question becomes, what about a bus? So let me put it this way. You know, getting on a bus on Shabbos, I'm not driving the bus. So you should know that with the more people that there are in a bus, the harder the driver would have to press on the pedal. There's more weight on the bus, and when you stop the bus, there is more brake that is being applied. So technically, every person that's on the bus adds to the starting and stopping. Unlike the Shabbos elevator, that's what I'm saying, the proper Shabbos elevator is such that no matter how many people are on, it uses the exact same mechanics for starting and stopping, or moving, or going up and down, whatever the case is. it's not going to change based on how many people are in or out.
What about a subway?
Same thing. There's no question. When the subway is empty, a car is empty, it's the same thing. And the brakes as well. Absolutely the same thing as a bus. However, my friends, there is one novelty. There is one novelty. It's really based, I guess, on an organization in Israel called Tzomet. But the Star K recently worked with the OU, and I think it's part Tzomet as well, that created what's known as a Shabbos scooter. For those who really cannot walk, let's say our good friend Arthur would be a prime candidate for a Shabbos scooter, which means that it's a scooter, like your typical scooters that you see, but it has a Shabbos mode, and it comes with a Hechsher, a Star K Hechsher on the Shabbos mode, a legitimate Hechsher. And once you put it into Shabbos mode, the way it starts and stops is done in a way I'm not going to get into all the technical. If Elio David would be here, which, by the way, he called me today, sends everyone regards, doing okay, Baruch Hashem. He would be peppering me with questions, I am sure. But it's done in a way, what's in Hebrew, well, actually in Talmudic expression is known as a grumma, and which means that I'm not directly causing, even when I hit start or go or however you do it, you turn the handle or whatever makes it go forward, I am not the one that is causing. It's an indirect which is permissible, but again, that would really only be for someone who cannot move on their own, who has difficulty on their own. Not even crutches would be. Someone who really cannot walk, and this now becomes that person's feet, so to say. Like, this is what I'm saying. Arthur would be the prime. My father-in-law of blessed memory, in later stages of his life, used a Shabbos scooter. And we have other innovations. Once Brian asked me the question, let me tell you one other, for example, innovation. Another innovation is called the Shabbos lamp. L-A-M-P. The Shabbos lamp. And it comes in two forms. Okay, if I would have known, I would have done a show and tell, would have brought it down. There's actually, one is a lamp, and the other one is called a shabulb. A Shabbos bulb, a shabulb. What they basically do, they basically work under the same principle. And that is, for example, the bulb is on, and all I'm doing in this lamp is turning. How I make the light come on and off is, I'm actually not making the light come on and off. I just have a screen that is blocking the light. By turning the piece on top, it brings a screen in front and completely blocks out the light. The light's still on. I'm not even moving the piece. I'm just moving the screen that blocks the light in front and makes it dark. And, for example, in our guest room here, that we have a Shabbos lamp, I just now bought a shabulb for my wife, you know, in a room, so on Shabbos. Again, what a shabulb is, a little bit different, is that it's an actual bulb. It's just the bulb itself. You screw into a lamp, and it has a little lever that it covers the LED part. It's like the dome, like the Sky Dome in Toronto. You just like close it from the rain, right? It's just the dome comes up on top. You move this lever, and it's dark. You can open a little bit, a lot. You can do whatever you want, because I'm not touching it. So there are, and that everybody uses. And there are ways, there are innovations that people can become creative. The guy who invented the Shabbos lamp, which is actually a Torontonian, formerly Torontonian, made so much money, he moved to Israel. And he's still doing well. You imagine he made And
here, I have
he was a rabbi in the village. What? Yeah, oh, there you go. Thank you.
I have one right here.
Rhonda. Rhonda has a...
So I can turn the light on and I
just
turn it off.
She's not changing, moving the bulb. She's just moving a cover, an inside cover, which then blocks the light from coming out. And when it's open a little bit, you can have a little bit of light, you can have a lot of light, you can have whatever you like. It just sits. Thanks, Rhonda. And then... And they make the big sizes, they make traveling sizes. That innovation. That's okay. A Shabbos elevator, again, check with your local rabbi. What no, if you're allowed, if the building you are in is permissible. My mother, when she's not on with us today, in her place in Florida, she was on the sixth floor. She had to take the Shabbos elevator. I'm a religious person. But it was hard for her to take this. She couldn't do the stairs anymore. So again, when things get to a certain point, you check with your local rabbinical authority, and then we see what else we can do to help. I saw a hand up for a second. Somebody have a question, comments? Yes, Rachel.
Yes, hi. It's not a question, it's a comment. There's one car you can ride on Shabbat.
Maze?
The ambulance.
Yes. So that's actually not where I guess I would be driving that, correct. If there is, for pikuach nefesh, for a medical emergency, that a person is allowed to do whatever. I was just, online, yesterday in Brooklyn, New York, there's a hospital, the local hospital, our local hospital might be Sunnybrook, the local hospital there, which serves the main thrust of the religious community there, is known as Maimonides Hospital. And Maimonides Hospital is now was rated as the worst hospital in New York State, 157 out of 157. People went in there for routine things and came out in a casket. You know, it's like really, really bad. And that's it. And the community got together last night, at least the religious community. I mean, they're non-Jews who live in Brooklyn, in that area of Brooklyn as well, that they service. But the religious people got together and they made a big gathering last night. And to save Maimonides. And they were talking about how they were understaffed and they had whatever needs to go. We got to change the board. You got to, you know, whatever. We got to sign a petition to try and make. Fine. The keynote speaker was an unbelievable. I really haven't heard this guy. I only heard a little bit of one of his classes that he gave in the Daf Yomi. But really, yesterday was the first time I listened to his entire speech. It's in Yiddish, in beautiful, beautiful Yiddish. Absolutely.
Is it Reuben Malch Biderman?
No. Reuben. Laser somebody Reuben. Laser Nissen Reuben. And unbelievable, didn't stutter. Unbelievable the way he spoke. And he told the story, he told the following, that there was a doctor that came and asked the following question. That he got a call. And we talk about pikuach nefesh, saving a life, right? That's what Rachel was just referring to. We save a life, you're allowed to do whatever you need to do. I get in my car, if there's an emergency. So this doctor is a big surgeon. And he says that if he gets a call, if he gets a surgery in the middle of the night, he's got to wake up. And what he does in the weekday, and this question was posed many, many years ago, and that what he needs to do is he needs to smoke a cigarette to wake himself up. That's what you do. Smoke a cigarette. So his question is, if I get the emergency surgery Friday night, middle of the night, I'm getting in my car, can I smoke a cigarette to wake myself up? So Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal answered him, the great rabbi answered him as follows. If it would be your son that you are operating on, would you be able to, well, it's my son, would you be able to gather the energy, would be, I don't know, stretch, do some exercise, get on a treadmill, do something if that would be able to get you to that same mode of, I'm now awake as I need to be to perform this surgery? Or even then, would you say that if the cigarette would help you in any way, shape, or form, more so than any of that, as difficult and as strange as it may sound, yes, smoke a cigarette, wake yourself up, because that is pikuach nefesh also. That is also saving the life of someone. Again, each thing needs to be asked. Don't take this, oh, because Rabbi Heshi said he can smoke, I'm going to smoke a cigarette on Shabbos, because if not, then I'm going to... No, each situation needs to be asked. I was just telling you over a story that I heard last night. Yes, Chaim Martin.
I was a little late. Am I allowed?
We'll let you in this time.
Thank you. It's just a simple question that's been brought up. What do I do in a case of what I determine is an emergency?
Of what?
What do I do in a case if what I determine is an emergency, and there is no one to present a question with? I need a rabbi, and I cannot locate one. And it's not. We're not talking about necessarily the kuach nefesh, but we're talking about somebody that may be determined as such.
So, really, I'm not going to explain it. I'll just say it in Chaim Aaron's terms that, for Durabanon, you can do and ask later. For Dari Raisa, you should ask first. Try and avoid Dari Raisas. Okay, anybody else? Any other questions or comments on this before I move on to my subject? And it is not Maimonides, whatever. I didn't even pull that out. I have something else. Going once. Going twice. Ask the rabbi. Going thrice. So I pulled out this news article. I printed this news article from foxnews.com. Maybe I should have sent it out to everybody. The news article would have been a good idea. The news article, the title of the article says as follows. I don't know if anyone would have seen this. Christian school refuses to change long-held policy excluding sexual behavior despite alleged death threats. Let me tell you what this is about. Whoops, get people's comments. A private Christian school in Florida is not backing down from a long-held policy that students not partake in sexual behavior outside of marriage, despite alleged death threats against school leaders and accusations that the school is targeting gay and transgender students. Quote, "If I back down from something like this, I'm abandoning what God said is the truth. I kind of rack my brain to, like, how is this hard for people to understand? This is what God said. This is one of the many reasons we have a Christian school, and we're not going to abandon this policy. God has spoken on these issues," end quote, which was said by the Grace Christian School administrator, Barry McKean. I guess he's the principal or the administrator. The interview followed national news coverage of an email that McKean sent to the school community earlier this summer highlighting that students will only be identified by their biological sex, and that students who are found participating in gay or transgender lifestyles will be asked to leave the school. And he says, "We believe that God created mankind in his image, male and female, sexually different, but with equal dignity." So, I just want to finish the article, and then we'll take questions, comments on this. Therefore, one's biological sex must be affirmed, and no attempts should be made to physically change, alter, or disagree with one's biological gender, including but not limited to elective sex reassignment, transvestite, transgender, non-binary gender, whatever. Students in school will be referred to by the gender on their birth certificate and be referenced in the name in the same fashion. That's what he wrote as an email to his school. McKean, this administrator, said he was prompted to send the email as a reminder to parents that, although this is being celebrated and encouraged by the country, it is condemned by God. And at this school, we're going to follow God instead of man. Wow. Okay. He added that no students have been booted from the school over their sexual orientation. One mother, however, said she has pulled her daughter, who identifies as lesbian, from the school, following McKean's email. She told the media that even though that the school has loving teachers, she respects the school's opinion. She removed her high schooler for the girl's well-being. I'm happy to send you the... Our parents are so supportive. Many of them came to church. So this is what happened. The school administrator, who has refused to speak to media outlets until Fox News Digital interview, this one that I'm reading, said that he and his family have since faced death threats following press coverage of his email on the policy. He added that he has even been forced to beef up security at the school. It's so funny for us, he painted to be painted as hateful. We have fielded hundreds and probably thousands of phone calls Thursday, Friday, over the weekend with some of the most outrageous things. People threatening to burn down my house, threatening to kill my family. He added that the school was forced to have a massive law enforcement presence on Friday and hired armored security guards to bolster protection. But amid the outrage from some, McKean said the school community and people across the country have wholeheartedly stood behind the policy, with one man even donating $5,000 to the school with a note telling the school leaders to stay strong and keep the faith. Okay, anyway, I can send out the article, we did it on its own. So, I thought, but obviously nothing Jewish in there, but I thought that was quite a compelling story coming from a non-Jewish source. And this is what I talk about every so often also. You'll hear me talk about this, and we talked about it recently, that someone has to stand up and say, enough is enough. So I'd like to hear from people. What's your opinion on this? If someone in the school where you're going to, or your kids went to, or grandkids, whatever it is, came here and said that they were transgender, would you say, nope, this is our school policy? If this was the school policy, or should we be bending the school policy for what's happening in the current generation?
Rabbi, what if a transgender person wanted to join the Chai Center?
You mean you want to know what the Chai Center's policy is?
Yes.
I knew somebody would ask me that question. Would anybody here in the Chai Center have a problem if we allowed a transgender person in the Chai Center?
Roberto might.
Are we allowed to be open? Or?
Of course we're allowed to be open. It's an open meeting.
Based on my moral values, I
would Sandy has her hand up, by the way.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't see. I didn't notice. Thank you. Let me get to Sandy first. Sandy, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Rudy was already talking. I'll go after him.
He's pointing at you.
Oh, I only see four people, three people. And to begin with, I think that this is a highly discriminating topic. I think it takes the rights and the freedom from people because education, everybody has the right to be educated. So therefore, I don't feel that the school should have the authority to segregate or discriminate against people's choice of gender. Plus, from my own experience, the very first or second Jewish retreat that I went to at South Fallsburg, and you know what South Fallsburg is all about, on two occasions, I met what was supposed to be a female from a very, very from family. The next time I saw her, she was wearing a man's suit and still did not go through the surgery of going all the way, become transgendering to a male. I also met what I consider to be a man completely dressed up in women's clothing at my table again another year. So I couldn't have been the only person that saw this. I really feel this is very discriminating. That's my opinion. I think it takes people's freedom away because they want to go to school to be educated. And there is something in the education that they might learn that will help them be hopefully a better person in society. So I think it treads on so many areas. I can't even begin to say, I would need like hours and hours and hours to talk. So I'm going to hold. I said enough. Let other people talk.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. Hi, Maren.
Well, I one of my first recovery meetings 2 years ago, we had a fellow who showed up who was transgender. Initially, I was very uncomfortable, and I didn't make anything of it. I just kind of let it go. Right, acceptance, it's got nothing to do with me. And then we had the first year, I had the first year anniversary of recovery in general, and it turns out there was a gay couple, male and male. I didn't know till after. And there was a whole upheaval about it, more modern Orthodox circle. There was a lot of fuss over it, but regardless, it happened. And they had asked, they consented with the rabbi before, and they were told it's okay.
That what was okay?
That it was okay to have them present, considering that they were physically active. And they were, there's two sides to this. So I'm going to give my personal on both, because strictly Orthodox, I grew up. Such things are no. It's against every moral. It's against every moral code in the Torah, in the Bible, religious values. I also have to say at the same time that in an ever-changing world where, unfortunately, according to the way I understand things, Torah law and values and Hashem, that, as you said, Rabbi, that's what you said yesterday. Yesterday, I think it was? You were talking about this, right? It's based on Roberto. What someone believes in, what someone thinks or feels is their choice, their bechira. If I'm not violating any Torah law by either partaking or being involved, it doesn't concern me. Am I disgusted by it? Perhaps. But if I've learned anything from recovery, is that as someone who came from a completely inundated yeshiva community and knew nothing outside, I've learned from the Chai Center and elsewhere to accept those who don't come from my walk of life, who don't accept my values. And I've learned to embrace Jews from all walks of life, all types. And regardless of how I feel, I'm happy to be a part of someone else's journey. Maybe I think that person is just even being in there struggling. That's genuinely the way I feel. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. Sandy?
I think I agree with Rudy, although there isn't crosstalk here. I think where I have an issue with this is more long-term down the road. We're a generation that we still have, as you do have, your mother is a Holocaust survivor at home. So what I see is the potential that down the road, many years, or maybe not many years, the discrimination might be, you have blue eyes, we don't like you. You have dark hair, we don't like you. Your nose looks like this, it's not quite what we want, we don't like you. So where does this end? It allows people to be in governing places to discriminate and say, I like you, I don't like you. We can go back to the Holocaust. Completely go back to the Holocaust if we start to determine what we like about people, how they look, how they dress, how they speak, how they sound, and their sexual preference, or maybe their preference in their wardrobe. So that's where I find a really dangerous avenue to go down. We will go backwards. We will not go forward. I can't hear Bernie talking.
Hello?
Yeah, Rabbi, you please hold on.
Yeah, I wasn't talking. I was making a sign because there was no sound.
Okay, got it. I hear you. Thanks for sharing. That sort of is consistent with your position. I hear. Well, let's hear from other people. Michael, go ahead, please.
Not a controversial topic at all. let's talk about abortion. Anyway.
One at a time.
Right, right. First of all, I think something that's lost in this conversation is the fact that this is a private school.
Ooh.
If you don't like what their policies are, you absolutely have public education policies that the population at large decides in terms of what is school policy, school boards. It's you know, something that's available to everybody. This is a private school. I find it interesting that I can't recall a time when a Jewish school leader, whether a Jewish school or, say, a Muslim school, a private school, would have a similar policy. I can't recall a time when it's come up in the same manner as this has. It would be interesting to see, because I've seen many polls from, just as an example, Muslim-majority countries, where the attitudes are not what one would consider enlightened, shall we say. I have to say that personally, I've had a lot of struggles with this issue in the past year or two, because I've started to think about it on a more traditional level. Let's consult the Chumash, Leviticus 18. Leviticus 22. You shall not lie with a man as one lies with a woman is an abomination. The Hebrew word an abomination is toeva. May I ask the rabbi? That seems like a very, very special word that the Torah uses to describe male homosexual behavior. A toeva, an abomination. Very strong word. I don't hear much ambiguity in that, as far as where the Torah stands. But my life has certainly been broadened and improved, and I believe I've become a better person from my experiences in recovery. And it's very difficult for me to reconcile not accepting one thing on the one hand, on the other hand, live and let live. And that's what I'm saying. That's been a real struggle. I really don't know what to do about it. But I think it should not be forgotten that I believe that if you want to start a private school and teach more or less traditional values, that should be your right, as much as it's your right in a public school forum to have whatever policies that the public sees fit. That's it.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Who else? Get some other thoughts in here. Carol, what do you think? I saw Okay, let's move to Vic.
Rabbi, maybe it's a little bit like going to an Orthodox person's house with an unkosher sandwich.
Okay. I hear you.
It's sort of similar in a way.
Right. So Michael makes a good point, that, and that's true. It's a Christian school, and this is their value. And he's saying, we answer to God. And, you know, if it's a Christian school, they probably, they say they believe in God. I wish all branches of Judaism would sort of say the same thing, that we believe in God and they would follow God's ways. But the Christian school sort of is holding firm on their principles. I guess, Michael, part of the question becomes is, let's say that Christian school is the only school in town. And there is no public school for this lady, man, whatever, to be able to go to. Does it become the responsibility of, I guess it's a secondary question, of the school to accept whoever we can, whoever, regardless of the orientation? It's almost like saying, like here in Toronto, we do have all male schools and all female schools. I'm sure in every place you have that. But if I was the only school in town, it would be very hard for me to say, I'm now opening the only school in town and it's an all male school. Hey, what happened to the females? You have to open the regular, like that, for everybody. And then if you want to do something private, do something private. Another point to consider. Gail, go ahead, please.
Very interesting topic. Camp, the Jewish camp in Winnipeg, the only Hebrew-speaking camp, actually, Hebrew-Jewish-speaking camp in Western Canada. I know there's lots in Toronto. My daughter was actually a counselor a few years ago, and there was this young boy, 7 years old, who identified as female. And the parents, the mother actually wrote a book about accepting all children, etc. And this little boy was dressing as a girl. Fast forward a couple of years, and his name was changed to a female's name. And at a young age like that, he already started transitioning. And the camp board met. And Jewish population in Winnipeg is very small. You got to keep whoever you can in the community. And they introduced, this mother actually came and gave this whole education seminar to the counselors. She herself is a social worker from quite a prominent family in Winnipeg. And not only that, we went to the camp and there were non-binary washrooms. The cabins, all the cabins always identified as Yeladim and Yeladot, and all the cabin names always had names relating to the girl cabins and the boy cabins. And they all had to come up with, so the whole camp was educated because of this one child. And since then, this is probably 5-6 years ago, and you're talking about young kids. And since then, they've had all these other young kids coming out of the closet. And these were kids who were very, very depressed at one time. So that's another way of looking at this whole situation, is all these young kids or teenagers, or the editor of the newspaper where I was a partner, of the local Jewish community newspaper, in Winnipeg, and I'm talking like back in the 80s, came out of the closet as probably the first upfront out there gay Jewish editor in Canada. And it basically lightened the whole atmosphere. And he actually won a B'nai B'rith Humanitarian Award for writing an editorial on his beliefs of his sexuality and how difficult it was to be accepted in the community and just in the Jewish community, in the general community. So that's another way of looking at it. Yes, I understand from the Chumash and from the Bible and from everything and the beliefs. But is it better to have people addicted and depressed or being able to be honest about who they really are and how they identify?
Okay, very good.
It's a whole other class. It's a whole other discussion that...
Yeah. Yeah. Bernie.
Sorry. I had a friend when I was about 7, 8, 9, and his younger brother periodically had contact with him. So I think maybe I was a little older, maybe 11, 12. And he had mannerisms that were female to some extent. I don't know if he was gay, but you know, I don't know if you've been around gay people, but there's mannerisms. And like today we have videos and we have TV shows and we have, the apps on our phone that you can learn how to act that way. But he didn't have that, because I was born in 52, so we're talking about 62. How does he get those mannerisms? His family wasn't like that.
Right. So Bernie raises a good point to what Gail was saying. And I was going to share, I'll get to Jennifer in a second. I was going to say, sometimes, as we say in the Hebrew language, yatza schara behefseda, which means that sometimes you lose more than you gain. You think you're gaining, you know, a step forward, but two steps back. So the question becomes, does opening something like this up actually breed more people to follow this path? I'll give you an example. Sandy referred to retreat in South Fallsburg. Yes, I had forgotten about him or her, whatever, him, her, the right thing. I remember that transition as well. But at this retreat, where there were men and women, where religious people would come that maybe would never have held the hand of the opposite gender, now, because under the umbrella of addiction, and at the end of the meeting, the tradition there was that everyone would make a circle and hold hands. And this now maybe gives me the opportunity, where I've never held the hand of a member of my opposite gender, to go ahead and do that. And it's permissible because everybody else is doing that. So is something like that now beneficial for me? Or is it actually detrimental for me? I never would have done that had it not been. And now I was looking for something to make it that has made it permissible. It has introduced me to something that I never would have been introduced to before. Is that a good thing? Or is that not a good thing? Jennifer, go ahead.
This is so difficult a topic, and only you, Rabbi Heshy, would do this to us all. And yes, I do hold you accountable.
Yes, I brought up the news story.
There's a few things I'll say. In the Jewish community, I don't know if anybody knows, in the last while, and I don't have a child in the Jewish school system, but, you know, the Gay Pride Month, you know, some schools that are paid for, tuition, and they were being more sensitive and celebrating gay pride. Some parents and some people were very offended by all of this. Then I agree with the private school saying of like, yeah, we got private schools and you're paying for it. So you come here because you want Christian values. Well, we're giving you Christian values. Fair enough. And fair enough that if somebody doesn't want, like the way a Jewish school is being handled, then, pull your kid out and send them to another one or vice versa. This is very fair. And I think in society, we really need to respect other people's decisions. But at the same time, I don't think that it's really fair to somebody to inflict their beliefs wholeheartedly on me. I don't want to live in a society where I don't want to live by Muslim values. So, you know what? I don't live in a Muslim country. If I was, then I might be forced to. I want to be able to practice my choice of religion freely. And, if I would like to have a private school and the government to give money to that school, I think that's a good thing, which Canada does. So these are all really good things. However, I think I did share at one point that I do have a family member with a very young child who is now, unbeknownst to me in the last couple of years, came out with saying that they've now acquired a non-binary name. And this child is like 11, 12 years old. And this means that they were very young when they made this decision or whatever. Fair enough. I don't know the situation. I'm not going to judge. And I think at the same time, I'm on my soapbox here, guys. By the way, I apologize. And at the same time, I also see that there's a lot of people who came out as being gay or and they're very... In many years ago, we're talking 50, 60, which would have been jailed or killed or died. And there's still people dying or taking their lives because they are gay in a society that doesn't accept them. And I don't agree with this. I believe in the Jewish law that everything, life is number one, And if we're going to make people feel shame and guilt for something that is naturally there, that's important. My last point on this is that. Oh, I've lost it, guys. I'm ranting so much that I've lost it. I apologize. I might chime in again and give it to you, but I do feel that there's many different sides to the coin, and I think respect of people's wishes is the most important thing. And if we do have a school that is teaching our religious values, then that is a choice that should not be, church and state should stay separate, and get the government out of my school. I'm paying for it, etc. So that's my stance. And I think again, by the way, this was my last point. And this is something that people might not see the same way as me. So it's a pretty heavy comment. But being medicated for many years, I also realized that when you're on medications of any different degree, and whether it's self-medication or prescribed by a doctor, sometimes you're very easily influenced. And our society right now is pushing so much on mental health. It's a big issue. And we're so much pushing on accepting LGBT and non-binary, et cetera. And we're pushing it so much. I wonder sometimes if we as adults are maybe introducing things that our children are just not even open to understanding and saying, oh, is this your problem? Is it because this way? And when you're medicated, or whether you're young, or whether it's even your personality, some people are more influenced than others. And I don't wish for somebody to be influenced out of being gay, or somebody to be influenced into being gay. And that sounds so bizarre, and I'd love to hear anybody's comments on that. But I do believe that is an issue. And I thank you all for listening to my rant. And I apologize.
Thanks for sharing. Sandy, back again. Cool.
This is fantastic. I love what everybody has to say, but I have to apologize because I really didn't answer your question, because where we started off, and we've gone wandering around off topic, but it's a fabulous topic. You asked the question about the school's policy, and through listening to other people talk, and I can't remember which one it was, it's the school's policy. So if you don't like the school's policy, you do have choices. Go elsewhere.
That's what Michael said, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's not the only school in town. And again, it's their policy. So it's really nice. We have a choice. And I guess when I think about we have a choice to go to another school, that's what got me on to thinking about choices. Everybody should have choices and should not be denied from whatever choice and preference is for them. So this topic is really quite fascinating. Thank you for bringing it up.
Thanks for sharing. Judy?
This goes along with what Jennifer was saying. I totally agree with the influence part of this. When we're talking about, let's say, a young teenager, like maybe 13, 12, and they're seeing this around them, they're going to start, one, it's going to make them think that this is okay. I mean, it is okay. I mean, if that's the way you are, but you would tend to shift, your thinking starts to shift that if this person is doing this, you know, maybe it, you know, maybe I can do it too. Like it's suggestible and they're making it okay to become gay or, you know, whatever. But, like when I was growing up, we didn't have any of this in school, you know, about gays. And I don't recall anyways. But now these young girls are, I think, getting confused about the whole thing. And if you have a school that is allowing it, it's sort of modeling a different lifestyle that maybe they don't want to introduce that school. Making it okay for them.
Right, correct. Okay, so there's Chaim Aaron and Brian. You have 60 seconds maximum because I need to, before we close tonight, mention what Chai Center policy is. Go ahead, Chaim Aaron.
First question is, Rabbi, why did you ask the question? Why did you bring it up? Secondly, we're still waiting for your answer. I really want to hear it. But under 30 seconds, actually, someone said that Rapam wrote in one of his shuvahs that the day the Olam becomes Machshav Mishkav Zachar is Yemos Mashiach. So that's number one. Number two is, I would just ask, from an overall point of view, what is the Torah stance on these adjustments? Just like Rabbanim are readjusting.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to get to. Okay. That's what I'm going to get to.
Let me ask.
And why I discussed it is because I found the article. Brian.
Okay, very quickly. I went to Talmud Torah in Montreal, in Saint-Laurent, and in grade three, they requested that I not come back. And I went into the public school system, and it was their policy. I was obviously a troublemaker. And my family said, okay, and that's it. A school's policy or a government's policy. We do live in a democracy, but there are options. So nobody should be without education or healthcare or whatever. We're all equal in God's image. I'm going to shut up. Okay.
Thanks for sharing. All right, my friends. There are two types of, let me use the umbrella phrase, a problematic person. Addiction, transgender, whatever it is, problematic. Out of the norm. As we say in the program, the only requirement for admission is the desire to stop using. For the most part, which is probably about 99%, only because nothing other than God is absolute, for the most part, most people turn to alternatives because they are unhappy and do not know how to deal with the current. The reason why a person, God forbid, has to have a limb amputated as opposed to repaired is because we don't know how to repair it. So we amputate it so that it shouldn't infect another body part any further. A person that, God forbid, has gangrene, you may have to amputate a certain part of the foot or limbs, whatever it is, in order not to infect the rest of the body. But that's because we don't know how to deal with it. Hashem hasn't given us necessarily the ability to deal with every situation. And sometimes we need to learn that sometimes you have to amputate. The same is true in areas of mental health. Most cases, there are ways of dealing with it. Most cases. Not saying all. Many. Most cases. The problem becomes when it affects someone else. So there are two types of people who can come, transgenders, so to say, that might, you know, come to the Chai Center. Or even types of addicts. There's a type of addict that's, I don't care about, you know, I want to use. If you want to use, continue to use drugs, you have no issue using drugs. Yeah, no problem. You guys, great. I use the talk some Torah. Let me come here to the rabbi, share some Torah, words of Torah. But no, using drugs is perfectly fine. The Chai Center is not for you. Maybe we'll talk one-on-one. But the Chai Center is not for you. Because the Chai Center is meant as a place where people recognize that I need to grow from where I am. That my membership is that, the desire to move forward in life. So the transgender or homosexual or drug addict or whatever addict, whatever mind-altering substance that is there, if it's with the notion that I have nothing to improve, I'm totally okay where I am, we should talk one-on-one. If it's the desire to get better, everyone's welcome. That is the Chai Center policy. Okay? All right, on that note.
All right, Heshi.
Yeah.
Rabbi, it just seems to me that with what you just said, I just wanted to be clear that when it comes to something, the question became, would somebody transgender be welcome to the Chai Center? Would it be the Chai Center's position that somebody who identifies as transgender has a problem from which they should desire to recover? And if that's the case, then they are welcome, and if not, then they're not.
That's correct. If a person is here to celebrate that I'm an addict, I'm here to celebrate my transgenderism or LGBTQ, whatever, you know, letter that you are, if you're here to celebrate it, there are parades. You don't have to come to the Chai Center
okay.
to parade it.
Thank you.
If you're here to learn and to grow, that's what we do. All right?
Rabbi, one small thing, if I may add.
Nobody throwing anything at me yet? Okay, good.
Since Michael just added on, I actually wanted to say something else that wasn't really addressed. I'm not going to go to the school, but I'm going to say, you just said, if I'm a rabbi, I want to learn some Torah, I don't want to be here, but drugs are okay. You're not welcome here, right? Because here we're here to recover. We're here to want to grow. Is a school using any school, yeshiva, any policy to justify their actions, or are they using it as an escape? So the question that you posed,
yeah.
That's a really fine line.
I can't answer for anybody else. I can only answer for the Chai Center.
Okay, Rabbi. But you're saying if they're willing to learn and grow, but are you implying that the Chai Center is going to accept the transgender, the LGBTQ people? Or are you saying that, not that they're celebrating it, but they want to be accepted into society? They felt like an outcast. Or are you saying that they're only accepted into the Chai Center if they, I don't want to say if they want to go back, but if to fit into what the Chai Center wants them to be.
The Chai Center doesn't want anything from anybody. The Chai Center is just here to facilitate Torah knowledge. and understanding what Hashem wants. It's not what the Chai Center wants. It's what Hashem wants. And Hashem wants us to grow each from within our challenges. Even if I'm a serial thief. A serial thief. A murderer. And by the way, in case you don't know, yes, we've had murderers that are members of the Chai Center. So, even if I'm a murderer, but am I celebrating? Let's just kill. Or do I want to be, you know, that really wasn't that. Really wasn't me. But da, 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 da. I want to understand. I'm here to learn and grow why this is not the normal. I'm not here to celebrate. You know, there are places that go and celebrate that this, to make this normal. This one student in this school that we talked about, that we started with, was almost in a way, is the whole school now have to change because one student? In other words, Gail, do I agree with what the camp in Winnipeg did? I can't say I have enough information. I'm not going to give a flat, no, I don't agree. If that person would come here and say, I'd now like you to change it. Now I have to change all my programming. I have to change how I talk to this person. No, I would not do that. I would say you need to understand why it is that you are this way. The same way I talk to any addict. I'm not going to talk to anybody any differently because I'm a serial addict. Well, we all know that that is something that we shouldn't be celebrating. We should be going, we've got 12 steps for recovery. There's 12 steps to recovery into Hashem. And that's what we need to embrace. Okay? Sandy, you good?
I'm good. I just think that if somebody comes to the Chai Center, they don't have to sell. They don't have to announce and celebrate and get all entrapped into their ego. They could just come and learn, and there should be no big balaganza about who they are. And I come from a generation that used to watch
Bingo. Bingo. Sandy's hit the nail right on the head. The one, how do you know the difference is if a person comes in, hi, I'm a transgender and my name is, it. And, you know, when a person comes and tries to boast about, then there might be some red flags going up that maybe their intentions are not so pure. But if you're right, they come here and they're quiet. And they don't say anything. Hi, my name is Heshi, and I'm, but I'm just a friend of the program. Yeah. And I'm learning, and I'm listening, and I'm participating, and I'm asking, and I'm learning, and I'm growing, and we're moving together. Maybe one day I'll come out and say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I had this issue. That then you know that's probably a better chance, and that's no problem. Always welcome here in the Chai Center. Ladies and gentlemen, wishing you a great evening. Thank you so much for joining.
We're not finished.
I was about to hit the stop record. Thanks, Lori, for the message. Okay. See, I never know what's going to come out in the class.
I was just going to give
a small little class. And like, what am I going to record this for? But okay, anyway.
Rabbi, I was going to say, we are in dire need of chant.
Okay. Michael.
Well... First of all, Rabbi, it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing from you is now I'm going to take you to task. You seem to be essentially putting things like homosexuality and transgenderism on the same level as an addiction or even the commission of crimes such as thievery, and you use murder as an example. By the way, I'm not that murderer. I think that, and that will run up against, you see, certainly the gay community was discriminated against for so long. I can understand why there was a movement that based itself on pride. I understand that. We can never forget that Yimach Shemam and the Nazis certainly targeted homosexuals pretty much as much as they targeted Jews, or very similar treatment, different colors. But I believe I'm hearing from you that you're pretty much putting homosexuality and transgenderism, the two of the main things we've been talking about, on the same level as something that one should wish to recover from.
That's correct.
Okay.
that one should recognize that this is not the norm of society. And I don't think people should celebrate that it's not the norm of society or dictate to the norm of society.
I will just, the last thing I want to say is, I think one has to ask, because I think this is a very important issue nowadays, becoming more and more important all the time, especially vis-a-vis diaspora Jewry. What are Jewish values? Where does that begin and end? Because if it does, if it means everything, then it means nothing. As in, if you accept everything, you don't stand for anything. I'm saying you're not distinct. One of the big challenges, to my mind, for Jews in the modern Western world, shall we say, is the rejection, the promotion of what's called universalism. Everybody has to support everything. If there's one thing about Judaism, it's particularism. Lekachti etchem li la'am. We are distinct from everyone else. That particularism is fundamental to Jewish identity, as far as I'm concerned. Once you take that away, to me, it's no longer Jewish. And something that's been so emphasized by particular American Jewish organizations is the whole emphasis on what is called tikkun olam, that it is a Jewish responsibility to repair the world. I believe that it's a Jewish responsibility to be concerned about the Jewish world. The rest of the world can take care of itself. That, to me, is a Jewish thing. Just because, if for no other reason, God took us to be his people. That's a distinctiveness that no other people share. So why is it our job to repair the world? And good luck with that anyway. I think I've gone on too far, but
come Friday night. Good topic for Friday night. You haven't been here in a long time.
Rabbi?
True.
There's a rabbi in Winnipeg whose brother is in a gay relationship in Israel, and totally accepted in Israel, and has spoken very outwardly about the acceptance of gays in the Jewish faith. It was very interesting that
I don't know what you mean by accepted. I don't know by who, where, like it doesn't sound like it would come to my circles. But if you tell me that the conservative movement or the reform movement have accepted it, I'll go, okay, that they're open, that they accept gays and lesbians. They're open about that. I don't think the Orthodox world does.
But just as what you're saying, as far as sort of what Michael was saying, that and what I was sharing before about that, if it's going to keep people away from depression and by being able to be who they actually are, isn't that healthier than becoming using or addicting or suicidal?
So by them celebrating Gail.
But they're not celebrating. They're not celebrating. They just want to be accepted into society.
Yes, correct. So that's correct. It is better. I would not accept. So, for example, if someone says to me, I'd love to come to your house for Shabbos, but I'm driving to your house on Shabbos. Can I come? My answer is no. But what do you mean? If I stay home, I'm probably going to smoke a cigarette or cook or do all these other terrible things on Shabbos. I'm going to come to your house on Shabbos. I'm going to keep Shabbos. So the answer is no. You can't. It's not for me to make that justification over the Torah which Hashem has given and said, keep Shabbos. And you can't do that on Shabbos for me to go above that. So if a person has gay tendencies, that's okay. The problem is acting upon it. The Torah says, I think somebody, Michael, somebody quoted before, Brian maybe?
That was Michael. He's Tava.
But 18:22, it's a biggie.
Right, that one man shall not lie with another man. It doesn't say that you can't be homosexual. I like men more than I like women. Okay, that's my issue. But that's one thing. Acting upon it, lying with another man, is what the Torah says is the abomination. But what we're talking about here is the recognition. And that's what I was speaking to somebody else the other day. I said, you know why the Torah had to say that homosexuality, you should not lie with a man with another one? Because it does happen. It's not like a new phenomenon over the last 20 years that we decided. The Torah had to, Hashem had to say it in his Torah. So of course it's a thing. The Egyptians were full of homosexuality.
There's a location that was destroyed by Hashem that gave us a term used in that act. That term is sodomy. Where does that come from? Three guesses.
Right. So that always existed. Question is, am I allowed to act upon it? And the answer is no. Would I accept someone who says, you know, Rabbi, somebody comes to me and says, Rabbi, I'd like you to accept me as a homosexual. You're a homosexual? You like men? Fine. You're gay? You're a lesbian? You like women? Fine. No problem. But don't come and tell me that that is now the norm and that is something that I should accept because that's the way you are. It's like me. It's like somebody telling me, Rabbi, I want you to accept me as a serial thief. Because that's the way I am. I have to watch your every move in my home. If you're a serial thief, you might steal whatever is in my home. No, I'm not going to. So why are you coming to me? The only reason why you should be coming to a rabbi is because I want to get better. I recognize that there's an issue here. If I'm not going to a practitioner, using a global word, to get better, that means you've accepted that of what you are and do not want to change. That's the issue. I have problems to fix on my own without being gay. You know, like I have other issues. I'm always looking to move forward. So if you're okay being gay or whatever, then what are you trying to work on in your life? Is there anything wrong with your life that you're trying to move forward with? Yeah, I have anger management issues. But this is also an issue. And that's where the difference becomes. So someone who's gay, who wants to come here, we've had them before, I welcome them with open arms because the ones that come here or that I allow in are the ones that will make a positive influence on the Chai Center. Make a positive influence, and they will take the message from everybody else that's here in the Chai Center that will help them recognize, I need to grow. Maybe this is not where the parade ends. Herb, didn't hear from you much tonight. What's...
Well, you know, it's a controversial subject for sure. It's it brings to mind for me the slogan from AA, from Al-Anon, live and let live. That's what I think of first. I don't want to judge it. And I can't argue with your position either. I certainly can't argue with the position of the Christian school. That's their policy. And as far as, you know, there's a gay relationship in Israel, I believe people drive on Shabbos in Israel too.
Yes.
And they eat milk and meat and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, sure. The ones who are not religious, the ones who, and they're not interested in moving forward or growing or knowing or whatever it is. That's what they've decided, that they found their comfort level. And, you know, I respect them. I'll reach out to them and say, by the way, do do you know that this is what the Torah says about meat and milk? By the way, do you know what the Torah says about homosexuality?
I believe there was a president or some other government body that said we have no right to interfere in the bedroom of the nation.
Right.
Pierre Trudeau.
Right. Right.
The state has no business in the bedrooms of the nation.
So in a way, we're a little bit more open than this Christian school that I talked about, so I didn't get a chance to finish that, in that they were just like, psh, nothing. You know, if you have any kind of you got to leave the school. And here we're saying, if you have the kind of tendencies, that's okay, as long as you're here to grow. Because everybody in the Chai Center is here to grow, and whether it's homosexuality or addiction or thievery or whatever else is driving you, then we're all here to grow.
Rabbi, can I jump in at 8:50 for 30 seconds?
You have to jump to share.
I was hired to someone hired me to help her son. Nothing to do with fitness. Nothing to do with what I do well. And I told the mother over the phone, I said, this is what I do. I don't really coach individually. I'm not there yet. But I can try. And I ended up working with him 2 months. And what I came down to at the end of it is that he has PTSD from a very severe traumatic event when he was younger. And today he has fantasies and obsessions with young boys. Had he told me that when I walked in the first time, I would have been a little bit enthroned because I can see that was his cover. All right, this is who I am, so you're cool. But as time went on and he forwarded, he was like, I need help. I was able to relate to him and give him a place to feel validated. He wanted to grow. He wanted to work on it. And it was less about my judgment, less about my feelings on the matter, the more that I'm just, we're two people here really talking. And okay. I heard you say, no, I really have to bring it up because I heard you saying this whole thing that as long as I'm representing my Torah values, as long as it's according to my Torah understanding, it's fine. As we saw by that woman in Israel, that woman, right, who refused to shake the hand of a male because those are her values. So when I hear you saying, it doesn't really matter what your position is. I don't come in here and say, oh, I'm a drug addict and I'm an alcoholic, but I learned Torah. You know, as long as I'm here to grow, as long as I'm here to make a difference and change my life, it's good. Nothing else really makes any difference. There was a very, very prevalent discussion to bring up. It really was. It was good.
Good.
Okay, I need a little clarification. Are you saying that you will accept a gay, transgender individual to the Chai Center as long as they want to work on their issue of being gay or transgender, or as long as they want to work on themselves and grow?
Probably both.
Okay. Okay.
There's one girl. I've been trying to get her for years. Full of tattoos. Lesbian, whatever. I've been trying to rope her in for years. Been unsuccessful. I'm trying to rope her in because she knows. I'm not even sure if she's alive. I guess I can trip before Shoshana. I'll probably try reaching out again. And like anybody else who, or else, what are you doing here at the Chai Center? Like, what are you coming to the Chai Center for if you're not here to learn and grow? Like, we're not just like a social party, and you know, like you know, that we go bowling and whatever just because we have nothing else what to do. Whatever event that we will plan here at the Chai Center has to be with something that is bringing a person closer to Hashem. And how that manifests in each person is their business. It's not my business. But you have to become closer to Hashem. And I really and truly feel that a person, as all of us work at becoming closer to Hashem, we each begin to see what's really right and what's really wrong. What does Hashem want from us? It takes time. It's a slow process. But that's what happens when we connect with Hashem. We begin to ask ourselves, what does Hashem want from me? Every so often. Sit back, go have a conversation like this. What does Hashem want from me? Am I the person that Hashem is proud of for me to be? A lot of people have to answer yes, just so to satisfy themselves, even though deep down they know, Hashem, I'm really not proud of myself. But, you know, because for whatever other reasons, and I have no other way of dealing with it, so I just need to be proud of what the situation is now. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. Whoa. All right, let me stop the recording. Take care, everyone. Have a great evening. See you tomorrow, God willing.
Thanks. Great class.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks,
thank
everybody.
You.